Good morning, everyone. My name's Liesl. We're going to read the Bible now. If anyone would like a church Bible to follow along with, please put your hand up and Steve will give you one. Our first reading comes from Psalms 119 from verse 25. Psalm 119, starting at verse 25. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. And the second reading is from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
Thanks, Liesl. Welcome to church, everyone. Well done. Why did I say well done? Daylight savings. It's a minister's worst nightmare, daylight savings. I'm scared I won't be here. That would be terrible. And someone said to me, well, no, your worst nightmare is if there's someone out the front replacing you, which might be a relief some Sundays. But let's pray as we come to this topic of God's word being enough. Psalm 119:33, teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Father, your decrees, your word is enough. It's enough for us to follow to the end. And so we pray that as we hear your word now, that we would follow it to the end of our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So far, we've seen in this series we've been looking at, God's word is, what was the first one? Final. God's word is necessary. Steve didn't remember that one. And then God's word is, and today God's word is enough. All right, that's what we're talking about today. Is the Bible really enough for you? How do you feel about reading the Bible? Do you ever read the Bible and think, man, I wish there was more. I wish I had more information from God than what I have in this book. Have you ever, you know, gone through a problem or had to make a hard decision and you thought, man, I wish God would just zap me from heaven? And I wish he would give me some information to help me with this hard decision I have to make. Supernatural revelation is what I need right now from the heavens. I need someone to speak a word of prophecy. I need to have a dream. I need some new information from God. Have you ever felt like that? Or maybe you felt like, you know, when you sit down and you open your Bible and you read it, you think, oh man, this is so ho-hum. This is pretty boring. I'm not getting anything out of this. I am just tired of doing this. Or just maybe you don't even get to the point of opening your Bible in the first place because you think, oh, I'm not going to get anything out of it. It's too hard work. It's not for me. Now, if you can relate to any of these things that I've said right now, then this is the sermon for you. It could be that you have a problem with what theologians call the sufficiency of Scripture. Is God's Word enough for you? Is God's Word enough? Now, what do we mean by the sufficiency of Scripture? Here's what we mean. We believe that the Bible contains everything we need to know how to be saved. This book contains everything you need to know to be saved. This book contains everything you need to know God. And this book contains everything you need to know to live for Him. Right? It's all in this book. You don't need anything else. You don't need a new revelation from heaven. It's all in this book. So here's the plot line of what I want to share this morning with us. Okay? Here's what I want to say. I want to say that God has said everything that He needs to say, which means that the Bible contains everything you need to hear, which has important implications for us. Okay, those are the steps we'll look at this morning. First, God has said all He needs to say, which means the Bible contains everything you need to hear, which has important implications for us. Those are the steps we'll take this morning. So first, God has said everything that He needs to say. We see this most clearly in Hebrews chapter 1. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Do you notice God's a speaking God? He's not one of those strong silent types. He speaks, which is for a very good reason. It's because He wants you to know Him. That's why He speaks. But it's not just that God has spoken. He has actually spoken His last word, His final word, His concluding word. And this passage in Hebrews 1 and 2 tells us this in about four different ways. And I'm about to share the four different ways that this passage tells us this, because there's four contrasts. And you can see that there on this table. You can see that God spoke is contrasted with God has spoken. When did God speak? In the past, but when does He speak now in these last days? Okay, there's a contrast of who He speaks to. He spoke to our ancestors, but now He has spoken to us. And He spoke at many times and in various ways, but now He's spoken by His Son. Do you see how there's four contrasts that are in these verses? Let's look at the first one. It's to do with that God simply spoke. And this clicker's not working. I might just grab this one. Here we go. So, see, in verse 1, we read that God spoke. Do you see that? Past tense. God spoke. It's something that's happened in the past. But verse 2 says, in these last days, He has spoken. In other words, it's over. Okay, He has spoken. His word is finished. Okay, it simply tells us that God has finished speaking. All right, but then it talks about the times in which God has spoken. It says, in the past, God spoke. In times past, God spoke. But in this time, and the time that he's spoken now, is called the last days. The days that we are in now, okay, are called the last days. That means that right now we are in the final chapter of the world. We are in the very last period of history, the very last era. There's no more periods of history to come after the last days. It's not like we have the last days, are there? There's no final last days. No, these are the last days. We're in the last era of history. There's no future days that are coming in which God will speak again. Okay? God doesn't have any future speaking engagements in his diary that are coming up. Why? Because the diary has ended, right? We're in the last chapter of the diary. He has spoken in these last days, and that's it. Okay? There's the times, but this next contrast has to do with the audience. Okay, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors, literally the fathers, the Jewish fathers, the period of the Old Testament. But now, who's he spoken to? To us. And in Hebrews, this includes us as well. Christians, followers of Jesus. Okay, he has spoken to us who are here today, so we better listen to what he has to say. And then finally, it's the how, the way in which God has spoken. See, verse 1 says that the way God spoke then is different to the way God spoke now. So then God spoke at many times and in various ways, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. See, God spoke bit by bit, piece by piece. God didn't say everything all at once. He's not one of those people who, you know, when you speak to them, they just blurt out everything all at once, and then they excuse themselves and go, and you don't hear from them again, right? He's not one of those people. No, God didn't blurt everything out at once. He spoke little by little by little. Over 2,000 years, he spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses and told Moses his name. He made a covenant with David. He spoke to Jeremiah and showed him his glory. He spoke to Ezra and Nehemiah. Little by little, God spoke over a period of time. But each time, it was never final. It was never complete. There was always something more to add. There was always a new word for God to say. There was always something more to tell. At times he spoke through angels, at other times through fire, other times it was writing on the wall. It was little by little, moment by moment. But in these last days, how has God spoken? By his Son. Literally, by Son. That's who he's spoken through, by Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate revealer of God. Do you see, Jesus comes along and he puts an end to God's ongoing revelation. Okay? All these contrasts in these first two verses of Hebrews are showing us one thing. They're showing us that we're living in the time when God has said everything that he needs to say. There's nothing new that God has to say. See, you'll never find God saying, P.S., there's something more that I need to tell you. You'll never find God saying, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you this important information. No, he won't do that. God will never say, oh, by the way, there's another prophet coming up and he's going to give you some new information. No, that's not going to happen either. With God, there is no new news. He has said all the news that he needs to say. The revelation of final times has arrived. Do you see, in the person of Jesus, we have the full, perfect, and complete word from God. Full stop. And this is linked to who Jesus is, by the way. Do you realize that, you know, Jesus, when he saved you perfectly. He saved you completely. Jesus is the final act of God's salvation. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. In other words, I've done it. It's complete. When he died on that cross, your sin was fully paid for and you could be completely forgiven. You have no other priest that you need. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's verse 3 of Hebrews 1, which means his job was complete. If he didn't fully save you, if he didn't fully do the job, then you will need to hear more information from God. Do you see that? If you need a new Savior, then you need a new word from God. If God sends a better Savior, you need a better and updated version of God's word. But because Jesus is the perfect Savior, then what he has done means that what he has said is finished. It's complete. So can you see, do you understand this first point? God, we can't ever say that God has not revealed enough to us. We can't ever say that God hasn't finished his sentences. God has nothing more to say. It is finished. God has said all he needs to say. And so what that means is this next point. It means that the Bible contains everything that you need to hear. And I want to show you this from Scripture, that God, if he's spoken finally in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit, who speaks the same word as Jesus, has finished speaking in Scripture. Let's look at John chapter 16 to see this. John 16, verse 13. It says this, but when he, this is Jesus speaking, okay? And he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Notice these words. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Do you see those words of Jesus about the Holy Spirit? Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, many of whom who would go on to write the Scriptures, the New Testament, and he's saying the Holy Spirit, he won't speak on his own. He'll only speak what he gets. What will the Holy Spirit get? Only what Jesus gives him. He only speaks what Jesus tells him to say. Okay, the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal new doctrines, new things on his own. He doesn't speak on his own. He only speaks what Jesus says. And God has chosen to finally speak in Jesus. See, if God speaks finally in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit only speaks what Jesus says, and it's all written down in the Bible, then, brothers and sisters, this book contains God's final word to you. This book has everything you need to know. Athanasius said, the sacred and divinely inspired scriptures are sufficient for the exposition of the truth. The Bible is enough. It's all you need. And when you read the Bible, that's exactly what the Bible says about the Bible, that it's enough. So you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, where Paul says to Timothy, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you notice a few things here? The Bible is able to make you wise for salvation. To find out the way to be saved, it's all in this book. Okay, you can read it and you can find out the way to be saved. Everything here to believe in order to be saved. But see, the Bible, once you're saved, the Bible is also enough to tell you what to do in order to please God, how to live the Christian life. See, all Scripture is enough to teach you. All Scripture is enough to rebuke you. All of Scripture is enough to correct you. All of Scripture is enough to train you in the life that pleases God, so that the servant of God may be partly equipped for some good works. Some of you are listening. So that the servant of God may be partly equipped for some good works? No. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped. Completely equipped is what that word means, for every good work. Do you see? It's whole, it's complete, it's thorough. The Bible is able to completely equip you for every good work. God's word is enough. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean that God has spoken exhaustively on every single topic under the sun. That's not what we mean by saying God's word is enough. The Bible never tells you how to mow your about mowing your grass. It never tells you about how to cook spaghetti bolognese. It never tells you about how to drive a car. But do you realize the Scriptures tell you enough about what to do to live a life that pleases God when you do all of those things? You know, the Bible will tell you about how to drive a car in a way that pleases God. That's what you need to know. That's, you know, when you open the Bible, it says things like love your neighbor. And you get into your car and there's your neighbor in the passenger seat. And you think, oh, I better love my neighbor as I drive. And, you know, make sure they feel safe with me when I drive. And you read the Bible and it says, be patient. And, you know, when that guy, you know, cuts in front of you, you won't be a person who is outraged, because Christians are patient people, all right? You read the Bible and it says, be humble. And someone on the road makes a mistake. And you think, oh, you know, they made a mistake. I make mistakes too. I'm not going to get outraged. I'm going to be patient. See, the Bible tells you all kinds of things about how to drive a car. It's just that you haven't worked out what it says. It's there to be able to tell you everything you need to know about how to drive a car. It's more specific than you realize. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 puts it like this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. Okay? His divine power has given us not some things we need for a godly life, everything we need. Where does it come from? Through our knowledge of Him. Where does our knowledge of Him come from? God's Word. Okay? So, friends, as you read the Bible, you come to know God, you come to know Him personally, and by that knowledge, you and I are given everything we need for life and godliness. Brothers and sisters, everything you need to live, to make decisions, to please God and honor Him is found in this book. Where else have we to go? Nowhere else. This book has the words of eternal life. Scripture is enough for us. And that's why, by the way, that's why the Bible says don't add to it. You don't add or subtract from Scripture. Deuteronomy 4, Revelation 22 talks about adding or taking away from God's Word. There's no way that you can make the Bible better. There's no way you can make it safer, more palatable. There's no way you can improve it. You can't add to it or subtract to it. There's nothing in it by mistake. There's nothing that's left out that God intended to be there. God's Word is complete. Just say you woke up tomorrow morning and all the books in the world had been destroyed except for this book. This was the only book in existence. How would you feel? Would you feel disappointed? Would you feel, oh, I can't live anymore? This is the only book I've got. Now, do you realize if this was the only book in existence, you'd be sufficiently equipped to live, to know how to please God. You would know how to evangelize. You would know how to go to church. You would know how church should operate. You would know how to live for Jesus. you would know about ethics and you know, moral concerns. It's all in this book. You would know everything you need to know. Imagine if we took away the Bible and there were no Bibles in existence anymore. And if all we had were all the history of philosophers and experts and, you know, intelligent people who had written all these high and, you know, high thoughts, how would you feel about that? You know what? We wouldn't know who made us, how we got here. We wouldn't know how and why we humans behave the way that we do. We wouldn't know anything about the afterlife. We wouldn't know how to get to God. And, you know, we'd certainly wonder if he was there or not if we didn't have the Bible. It sounds like the wisdom of this world, doesn't it? If that's all we were left with. But no, friends, the Bible tells us all of those things. The Bible is enough. What happens, you might say, David, what happens when the Bible is silent on an issue? You're saying the Bible's enough, but the Bible doesn't actually tell you why some people suffer more than others. The Bible doesn't tell you why God chooses some people and not others. The Bible doesn't tell you why God made the devil. What are you saying? What happens? There's no word from the Lord on those things. Is that enough? Well, there is a word from the Lord on the things he is silent on. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." See, the secret things, the things that God hasn't told us, well, they belong to God. You leave those up to God. Let him worry about those things. They're his things. He hasn't told us everything. But what's our job? What's our responsibility? The things that he has told us, well, our job is to obey those things and to trust him that he's told us enough. He's told us everything we need to know. See, friends, God has said all he needs to say, which means the Bible contains everything you need to hear. Well, so what? What are the implications for us? As we finish this series on God's Word, you know, God's Word is all you need. God's Word is final. God's Word is clear. I want to say these things as we finish this series, especially as we think about the Bible being enough. I want us to be excited. I want us to be expectant. And I want us to be revived. Okay? I want us to be excited. You know, sometimes we think, wouldn't it be exciting if God were to zap me with new information? If I were to, you know, get a dream or a prophecy or something, because let me tell you, opening this book and reading it, it's kind of boring. But friends, have you considered this? Have you considered that this is the book, this is the place where God has promised to speak to you? Now, God is God. He can zap you if he wants. He can give you a dream if he wants. He's God. Let's not presume on what God can do. All right, but this is the place where God has promised to speak to you. I mean, let's just say I said to you, you needed some information from me, and I said, I'll email you the information, right? And then that day, you wait by your telephone waiting for me to call you. And I've said I'm going to email you, right? You're going to be disappointed, aren't you? Right? Because that's not, I haven't promised to call you. I've promised to email you. And see, God, and if you're there waiting for God to zap you with new information, new revelation, and he's promised to speak this word, his word to you through this book, then you're looking for the wrong thing. So be excited about opening this book. Soak yourself in the word of God. And when you soak yourself in his word, oh, let me tell you, it will give you new instincts. You'll think God's thoughts after him, and you'll be able to work out all kinds of areas, that all kinds of decisions you need to make by reading this book. Be excited and be expectant. You know, we should expect this book to apply to all areas of life. You know, we read the Bible and we think, well, the Bible doesn't tell me who I should marry. The Bible's not going to give me that information. It won't tell me what to do with my life. What a load of rubbish. The Bible is more specific than you realize. Do you realize, I want to tell you a personal story. When I was looking for a wife, I had a checklist. Did you have a checklist? I had a checklist. A mate of mine said to me, you know, why don't you read the Proverbs and work out from the book of Proverbs what it says about the kind of person who is wise. And so I thought, yeah, that's the kind of person I want to marry, someone who's wise, someone who's a Christian. I knew that from God's word. Someone who is wise. I read the Proverbs and I wrote down all the verses that had to do with character. You know, I read verses about someone being a person of integrity, someone being a person of honesty, someone who uses their words well, someone who is generous, someone who is kind. And I read all those words, and then I met Christy. And I read over my list, and I thought, I should ask this girl to marry me. And I did. And thankfully, she said yes, because she had her own list as well. But do you see, the Bible was all I needed. The Bible contained all the information I needed to work out who to marry. You see, the Bible is more specific than you and I give it credit for. The Bible will tell you how to be a good dad. It will tell you the kind of person to marry. It'll tell you the kind of job to do. God will show you the important principles, and you need to work out the details. But he'll tell you the important things, the things you need to know. And friends, I want to say that takes mature faith to search the scriptures and to work that out. I think it takes an immature faith to look for a sign from heaven. So read it expectantly, and finally, be revived. This book, when you read it, it can revive us. Psalm 19 says, the word of God refreshes the soul. Do you need refreshment this morning? Do you need refreshment for your soul? See, the Bible not only converts us, but it refreshes us. It enlivens us. See, you don't need to go on a retreat. You don't need to go off to Israel to be revived. You don't need to take communion each week. You don't need a supernatural experience to revive you. Do you know what you need to be refreshed? You need to read this book. You are holding in your hands a book that is powerful. You are holding the most precious possession on this planet right now. And you're holding a book that's been given to you from a loving God. See, a loving God has given you a complete word. If God wasn't loving, he'd make you search for more information. But in his loving kindness, God has given you everything you need to know for life and godliness and salvation. You've got the final, necessary, clear and complete word from God. And friends, in this book, you'll meet your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word is enough because Jesus is enough. You need nothing more. Do you want to know the way of salvation? Read this book. Do you want to know the joy of calling God your friend? Read this book. Do you want to get guidance for life? Read this book. It's all here. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in God's excellent word. What more can be said than to you, God has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus has fled. Let's pray. Father, We pray that you would save us, save your church from the horrible sin of thinking that we have an insufficient Bible. And Father, we pray that everyone here today, everyone who here is hearing your word, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that your word would be alive to us. It is alive. We pray that the Spirit would make it alive to us in our life as we read it and we apply it to every single area of our life. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.